connection card that is always in your bulletin so that we can stay connected. If you are visiting for the first time, we especially invite you to fill out the information on the front so we know how to follow up with you. And on the back, you'll find for all of us ways to be connected to the life of our church. We invite you to plug in. You'll see shared suppers are coming up. That's next weekend, a chance to have meals together, to get to know one another. You can always connect with Mary Davis over here. She helps us coordinate those. She coordinates those. She doesn't help us. She does coordinate those. We're grateful for her ministry in that way. It's always good to break bread together, get to know one another. You'll find that we are into our last collection of hope, gifts for the Hope community in Ypsilanti. We are moving now into kid-friendly foods, healthy kid-friendly foods. So you'll see a list in the bulletin and on our ministry station out in the hallway. And lastly, there are two ways to volunteer to offer hospitality during art fair. We're looking for folks to help us manage the parking lot and also to host at our recharge station, which is our playground space outside. During the art fair, it's hot and often horrible for children. And so we have created a space for families to come with young kids to find shade, to have a popsicle, to refill their water bottles, to have a bathroom, lactation spaces, all the things. And so we're looking for hosts for that too. So you'll find information about that in the hallway. Please connect with Sue Ellen or me if you are willing to help in either of those ways. I think those are all of our announcements for this morning. We come to you, O God, to thank you for what is good. We come to you, God, to cry out for what is wrong. We come to you, O God, to ask for help and for restoration. We come to you, God, with aching hearts and glad souls. Let us worship God together.
If you are able, please stand. Will you pray with me? Holy and eternal God, in you we live and move and have our being. In all our cares and occupations, and as we gather together to worship you, guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may both remember and reveal your presence through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Attend to the voice of my complaint.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who would stand?
There is grace with you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In God's word, I hope. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is steadfast love and great power to redeem. It is God who redeems us from all our iniquities.
This morning we hear a psalm of lament, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because the Lord has done bountifully for me. The word of the Lord.
That we heard from Sandy, the beginning psalm, and from Pastor Paul, another psalm, we hear about waiting. And some of the waiting feels frustrated, tired. Have you ever waited for something and feel kind of tired of waiting? I know what that feels like. I wonder if you do too. Sometimes waiting feels kind of frustrating and annoying and tiring, and sometimes we feel angry about it. And sometimes we hear about other kind of waiting, or we feel other kind of waiting that might look a little bit different. I brought a book to share with you today that maybe looks a little bit different. Let's see what this waiting looks like. Waiting by Kevin Hankies. Teresa, you can shift if you want to see the pages better too, okay? Here's how the story goes. There were five of them, and they were waiting. The owl with spots was waiting for the moon. The pig with the umbrella was waiting for the rain. The bear with the kite was waiting for the
wind.
The puppy on the sled was waiting for the
snow.
And the rabbit with stars wasn't waiting for anything in particular. He just liked to look out the window and wait. When the moon came up, the owl was happy. It happened a lot. And when the rain came down, the pig was happy. The umbrella kept her dry. When the wind blew, the bear was happy. The kite flew high and far. And when it finally snowed, the puppy was happy. He'd waited a very long time. The rabbit was happy, just looking out the window. Sometimes one or the other of them went away, but he or she always came back. Sometimes they slept, but mostly they waited. Sometimes gifts appeared. Once a visitor arrived from far away. He stayed for a while. Then he left and never returned. Fell down and got broken. They saw many wonderful and interesting things. What do you think this might be? I think that might be fireworks. Maybe that's the 4th of July. And of course, there was always the moon and the rain and the wind and the snow to keep them happy. One day, a cat with patches joined them. Was she waiting for the moon? No. Was she waiting for the rain? No. Was she waiting for the wind? No. Was she waiting for the snow? No. She didn't seem to be waiting for anything in particular. Oh, but she was. Do you see what happened? All the little cats came out. Now there were 10 of them, and they were happy together, waiting to see what would happen next. There are all kinds of waiting. I wonder if sometimes our waiting feels calm, and sometimes our waiting feels frustrated, and sometimes our waiting feels like hope. Knowing that something is going to come next and that God is part of it. May God bless you as you wait, as we all wait for things. Will you pray with me? God, we know there is a lot of waiting in our lives and a lot of feelings that come with it. May we take deep breaths and know that you are with us in all the kinds of waiting. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Let's pray together. God of every kindness and of all that is life-giving and true, let nothing hold us back from you today. Not our sense of failure, not our sense of inadequacy, not our doubts, nor our consuming anxieties, nor our thoughts of other things. The dullness of our hearts. It is your spirit that is drawing us, and only our resistance that is holding us back. Let nothing stand between us and a simple, receptive openness to your presence. Speak peace to our troubled minds. Grant us clarity about who we are and who we are to be. Lead us to embrace your purpose for us in the world. Infuse us with faith. Fill us with yourself. Now, here on the cusp of July 4, make us grateful for all that's good about our nation. Help us also rightly to grieve all of the sickness of our nation and to renew our resolve to make it far better in strong partnership with many. And we pray for our world, for peace, for justice, for healing, and everywhere for more kindness. And we pray for these people who are known to our community. Jill Damon, Betty Gersler, Mary Margaret Hatt, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, David Gregg, Graham DePriest, Grange Burnside, Fred Van Osdall, Essie Slaughter, Simona Butler, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, and Jackie. Now hear the silent yearnings of our hearts. And now, O God, let all that remains of this hour be true and of consequence, and may it lead us more and more into fullness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
And now a reading from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
According to an old Jewish legend, King David kept his windows open at night. And when the wind blew in the night, it would blow in through the window and stir the strings on David's harp so that they quivered with a few notes, which woke him up and prompted him to get up and compose a psalm. I like that. The spirit-stirring notes of sacred song that awakens us to get up and do our part. But beyond that, what the legend tells us that I like best is that the psalms got written by somebody who couldn't sleep. Which happens to be exactly what many of the psalms sound like they come from. Threats, anxieties, regrets, grief, panic. There are beautiful expressions of trust and praise in the psalms, but just as prominent are complaints, outrage, heartbreak, and deeply disturbing questions like this, which we just heard from Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart all day long? Answer me, Lord my God, or I will sleep the sleep of death. Well, modern religious sensibilities may not be too comfortable with that. Who prays like this now? Who but a narcissist or a paranoid or some infantile self-pitier under the illusion that they deserve better treatment from God? Pleading for help in prayer is, of course, fine. Weeping and anger have their therapeutic purpose in prayer, but surely not accusations that God has abandoned you, that God has a lousy memory. This is unseemly. It's embarrassing. It's certainly unenlightened. The God Almighty, creator of everything, giver of Jesus and the Spirit, shall we really bring accusing complaints? The psalmist looks up from his prayers and says, "How can you not?" The saddest thing is to live a dishonest life. And honesty includes acknowledging the whole raw truth of our experience and the world's experience. Before God, of course, we have countless reasons to be thankful and praiseful. But our truth also is pain. We suffer, struggle, grieve, and languish. Someone's hurting and it's breaking our hearts. Awful shadows fall across our own lives and we are in agony. And it's not just about us. It's not just about the people in our circle of care. It is about the whole wide world's sickness and breakage. The blessings of God, the goodness of God, are the truth. But misery and injustice also are the truth. Not the ultimate truth, but the sharpest and meanest and often the loudest. Our wholeness may not happen till we lay down the whole bloody tangle of truth into the light before the one who already knows. Part of our problem is the assumption that the spiritual life is kind of a sweetness. Prayer is the giving of thanks, asking for guidance, making intercessions, giving ourselves to God. Great sorrows can attend our prayers, even desperation. But there is a general reverent politeness in it all. There's no available space for the savage, the irreparable, the furious. No room for spewing out of our bloodiest, most terrifying questions. Maybe also we hold back because it's in the very nature of pain to close us in on ourselves. Pain has a way of making us mute. We withdraw and shut down. This is the double poison of a wound, not just the pain, but the isolation that pain imposes on us. All the more important then, and all the more possibility of great good news if we let ourselves push through into truth-telling. Maybe tortured speech, prayers made through clenched teeth, but we do it on the dare that God actually listens, that God wants the truth spoken. Wants the truth offered, lifted, wept. The prayer of lament may be the beginning of a way out and join us to some new possibilities. New possibilities, for instance, to act. For if we are withholding ourselves in our pain over all that is wrong, is it possible that with that withholding, if released, sets us a bit freer to act with reference to what are the sources of our pain? They belong together in our prayers, our pain, and our hope. There was an interview done in the mid-19th century of some enslaved black people. One of the interviews, an enslaved black man, is asked to talk about the origin of some of the old spirituals, and he said, "My master gives me 100 lashes. My friends see it and are sorry for me. When they come to the praise meeting that night, they sing about it. They work it in, you know, work it in. That is the way." You hear the sense of that and the power in it? In the praise meeting, there's no splitting of experience into separate compartments. Joy and praise over here in that part. Sorrow and suffering over there, segregated for its own special time. What is all brought together, interwoven, they work it in, he said. The lash got worked in so that misery could sit on the front pew right beside the hallelujahs. And the two could inform each other all the way home. We who are the proper and the reserved and the tightly buttoned up would have a better shot at a vibrant hope if we had the courage to pray our own wounds and to pray the wounds of our world. To pray what we and others have suffered, and yes, to pray also the wounds that we ourselves have inflicted. What other chance might we have of finding release, forgiveness, healing, freedom? I was once invited to give some lectures on worship. I knew that in this series of lectures, one would need to be devoted to the brighter side of worship expressions: praise, thanks, joy. In pondering how I would need to give encouraging and happy examples of those kinds of moments in human beings addressing God, trying to think of examples, I recall that the current issue of Life magazine featured an article on prayers made by children. I hadn't seen it, but I knew prayers of children, there had to be some good material to help us understand gladness and thanksgiving and praise. So I bought the magazine. What I found was this: "Why'd you give me this pain, God? I didn't do anything wrong." And this: "Dear God, this would be a better place without knife killing or gun shooting." And this: "Why did God give Tiffany cancer? Why does God pick anybody for getting cancer?" Jesus said that to enter the kingdom of God, you must become like a child. And whatever else he may have meant, there is at least this: children tell the truth of what they feel and what they need, and they raise honest questions and complaints. And isn't it possible that this capacity is one and the same with a willingness to be held in someone's arms, and when it's time to get up and play and dance and sing with all their mighty hearts? Which takes us back to Psalm 13 and the countless other psalms of lament in the book of Psalms. It ends with these lines, "But I trust in your spirit, in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me." I trust. I will sing. And this is the end point of almost every psalm of lament. New arrival at some new kind of trust. New song of hope. Doors swinging open to living again. Perhaps even to a whole new kind of joy. We are made for joy. But joy is deepest and best when praise and lament have intertwined. This is a gift of God's inexpressible mercy. Grief and gratitude side by side, hardship and trust coexisting, suffering and rejoicing, not strangers to each other at all. Here it is in a George Herbert poem I love. I live to show God's power, who once did bring my joys to weep, and now my griefs to sing. The great Jewish teacher, Abraham Joshua Heschel, said, "There are three ascending levels of grief. The first level of grief is tears. The second level of grief is silence. The third level of grief is song." So let's not be afraid to express our deepest trouble and pain and our hardest question, to tell them, to let them flow in tears and lament, to express it all to our Creator. God is truth, and all truth has a place in the light of God. To do this in itself is an act of trust and an act of freedom. Trust in the path of renewal of life. Love means to give joy again, which is to say, as we lament for the world's sake and for our own sake too, let's do keep our hearts always also open to sing. As an act of our own trust, as an act of our love, faith, and truthfulness, let's make good offerings to God now. Christ invites everyone to this table. Therefore, let us prepare ourselves for the feast of love and confess before God and each other our sins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This proves God's love for us. All things now are made new. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As signs of our being reconciled and blessed as family of grace together, let us offer to one another signs of peace and reconciliation. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pray together in the words that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. Forming us from the dust of the ground, God breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In the fullness of time, God sent to dwell among us Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our leader, our Lord. Through his teaching, through his death, his resurrection, God formed a new community in the world, cleansed and liberated from the power of sin, and called to walk in newness of life and be instruments of the life and love of God. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." the body of Christ, the bread of love.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's suffering until he comes again. The blood of Christ, the cup of life. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ. One with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
The offering plates at the exits are to collect our offerings. To be used in the church's fellowship fund, which is for giving whatever assistance we can to those who are needing material help. Let's stand together for our hymn of fellowship. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Now go to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God now and always. Amen.